Good morning. Bet you can't guess what we're talking about today. I had to bring airplanes into it at some point, right? This is the final sermon in our sermon series called The Whole Church. And if you've not been a part of it, you can always catch up by going back to our website, wordserve.org, going to YouTube. You can find all the sermons there and the worship as well. But where we've been is this whole model called APEST. APEST stands for all the giftings that Jesus left us as he left this earth. Jesus is the only person who perfectly lived out all of these functions in one person. But as he leaves this gift to the church body. And so what does APEST stand for? It's apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And as I look out here, this is a monumental day because I actually have the results of your test. And I'm going to display them by name. No. Not really. That would be awesome. Just the ones that have zeros. No. So we're going to wrap this all up and talk about how we bring all these together to become the whole church that Jesus calls us to be. I have to take you back to 1987. That was the time when I was young and dumb. Now I'm just dumb. But I was an instructor pilot in the T-38. This is not a T-38, but it was a cool picture. So I was an instructor pilot in the T-38, and the Air Force had this brilliant idea that for the spouses to fully appreciate what their spouse was doing, that they would get a ride. Sort of. So here was the deal. The deal was you got out to the airplane, you got up. It was a two-seater back and front, right? So backseat driver, literally, right? So, so you got the engine started, you taxied out to the runway, and the takeoff position, you ran the throttles, you let the brakes get to 100 knots, and you pull back the throttles and stop and taxi back in. I was like, But there's something about that. So they spent all day, the spouses spend all day, they have to get outfitted with a flight suit, they have to understand the workings of the ejection seat, not that they're planning to use it, it's that we don't want them to use it, right? They have to learn some of the radio calls, and so it was really cool. Like, when you get ready to taxi, you have to sound cool on the radio, so you're telling your spouse, hey, say this next, say this. And I got to tell you, my wife sounds good on the radio. Yes, yes, she was the best one out there, and I'm not biased at all. Yeah, so we got out, we did all the training and everything, we get out to the jet, we fire it up, we taxi to the end of the runway, we get clearance on the runway, and so it looks like this. And I tell you, when you run up the engines, if you're not familiar with the T-38, it is a supersonic afterburning airplane, right? Front back seat. So when you run up the throttles, you hold the brakes because and when you run up those throttles, those hunkers down, you can feel the power. Boom. And I call that the hunker down because it's like you're ready to pounce, right? And as soon as you release the brakes, you go to full afterburner. And two things happen. You get pressed back in your seat, and all that hunker down that you did comes up. You almost pop a wheelie, and off you go. And it's like super exciting, right? Your pulse is racing and everything. And about 2 seconds later, we're pulling back the throttles because we already made it to 100 knots, right? And then you coast off the runway and you taxi back. It's like, okay, well, that was cool. But, you know, when you haven't done that, that's exhilarating, right? Was that not thrilling? Yeah. So it's super exciting. The spouses are all on fire. But those of us who have done a little more recognize, oh, there's so much more. If I could have just left the power a little longer and lifted off, I could have shown you a whole different world. Because basically what we did is we took something that was built to fly and turned it into a road machine, right? Which is not bad. I mean, acceleration is wonderful. But how can I possibly convey what it's like to slip the bonds of gravity? To look at thunder boomers that are 50,000 foot high when you're at 45,000 feet and go, wow, God is big. How could I possibly explain what it's like to just hurl yourself through the air without any fear of gravity if you have power available? How could I explain what it's like to break through the cloud barrier? Everything here is dark and dim, and you break through that cloud barrier and it's just sunshine. It's amazing. The views are incredible. How could I explain what it's like to look at the sunrise over the Mediterranean Sea after you've been flying all night? I can tell you about it, but you've never experienced it. How can I tell you what it's like to go faster than the speed of sound so your voice doesn't even catch up to you? I'm just kidding about that part. Yes, it does. See, I can tell you all about it, but You can't experience it until you've done it yourself. So it was fun, and while it was good, it was the best that we could probably do. There was so much more. And what we did was we took that airplane that was designed to fly and bound it to the sky. Why do I tell you this story? Folks, because I think the church is designed to fly, but we've bound it. If you're a pilot and you have this view and you say, okay, I've got a clear mission. My mission is essential. I must take off and make disciples of Jesus Christ. I've got to fly. Here's the bad news. It's available. Here you go. I will tell you. One of two choices at 25% thrust. Unless my runway is the length of, I don't know, the Earth, I'm probably not going to make it airborne. And so my two choices are, I go and I recognize I make it, and I pull the throttles back and I abort. They call that abort, right? You stop your takeoff, and you just come right back in. And there's something wrong with the airplane, you're done. You never left the ground. The option I have is to insist. No. Until I can go no more, and you're going to go right off the end of the runway at about 100 knots, and you're going to turn an airplane into a four-wheel drive. You tell me how that works out. I've actually seen that, not on purpose. Not me. Let me be very clear. That was not me. I watched someone exit the runway unplanned. It was not pleasant, right? Damage to the aircraft, almost damage to the pilot, those kinds of things. So those are your two choices. You can stop. Or you can go and try to insist, and you're probably going to do damage to the plane, or in this case, the organization. You're going to do damage to the people involved, or you just don't do anything at all. Either way, you don't get the full experience of what's capable in that aircraft. And man, it's amazing. I could tell you, buy me a cup of coffee sometime and spend about 2 days with me. I'll tell you story after story if you want, for free. It's just amazing. And folks, I think the church is the same way. We have all this capability that we're not using because we're operating on about 25%. And that's what APEST talks to us about. I want to talk briefly about, boom, there we go, asking this question out of Ephesians 4. And the question of the day is, are we ready for takeoff, church? Because today we're going to get a new identity. I don't know if I've mentioned this, but today we reveal the new logo. Dun, dun, dun. Is anybody else excited about that? Yeah. Yeah, all right. We have a professional video that Jared spent 2 years working on. It's awesome. You're going to love it. But before we get there, we have to do some other things real quick. And we're going to look at the biblical reference for all of this. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, and then 16. Here's what the word has to say. So Christ himself gave us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. These are the words of God for the people of God, and for these words, we are grateful. Did you hear what happens? To equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up. Who is he talking about? Who is Paul, back in the time when he wrote this, talking about? He's talking about us. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. Until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If you're an airplane driver, that means you actually left the ground. That means you got the gear and the flaps up. That means you can go supersonic if you want to. That's what that means. But folks, how many people have left the ground when it comes to church? And yeah, I'm not asking you to answer or raise your hand, but honestly, don't you feel like sometimes there's something more there and we're just not quite there yet? Don't you feel sometimes a little discouraged because you know that the power of Christ is so strong and could transform lives, and yet it doesn't seem to be working? Have you ever been part of an organization where you felt this call, but you just weren't sure how to deliver? And folks, the problem is that sometimes we think it's just about me. Like, I have to do more. That might be true, but you know what the real challenge is? We have to do more. We have to come together as a body of Christ. We have to donate whatever gift we have been given into the mix. That's where you get from 25% power to 100% power. Put the Holy Spirit in there, you got afterburner. Nothing can stop that. You could make a brick fly if you put an afterburner on it. Look at the F4, for those of you who are airplane buffs, right? All right, so are we ready for takeoff? I don't know, you tell me. What we've been working on is this gift, the five essential gifts, the APEST as we call it. And just as a brief review, the apostles are the ones who are pioneering, they're reaching outwards. If we don't have them, we stagnate. This is the abort on the runway, right? The prophets call us to be faithful and alignment. Remember the shoeboxes? That's what prophets do. They say, hey, wait a minute, we're getting off course. Let's come back to the roots. Let's come back to the main thing and keep it the main thing. The evangelists, pretty straightforward, but we're lost without them. They're the ones that share that good news, that have a natural gift of inviting people in. And if we don't have that constant stream of newness coming in, we can tend to be isolated. We can tend to form cliques. We can tend to be a social or a country club. And that's not the calling either. It's nice. It's comfortable. But there's more. There's shepherds, natural caregivers. Without them, this doesn't feel like family. It feels like something you got to do. It feels like you're another number in the cog. You're just a piece of a factory. But with them, there's a sense of family. Which church would you prefer? I know which one I would prefer. And then finally, the teachers, the ones that have help us to be equipped with wisdom. They have clarity. They bring things that are maybe sometimes complicated into simplistic form. Not simple, not simple-minded, but simple enough to digest. Simple enough then to apply. That's what the teachers do. So Alan Hirsch, the guy who wrote this book called 5Q, says if we don't have all of these in the modern church, we tend to operate at less than full power. You have to have all five of these combined together in order to operate fully. So here comes the test results. What do you think? How do you think we did? Are we pretty evenly distributed? What do you think? No? No guesses? I just heard no, but okay. Without further ado, this is us in the contemporary service. So you may be going, Bill, I thought it was APEST. Why does it only say P-E-S-T? Because we're just a pest. We have no A. I'm serious. We have one A. I'm not gonna call them out by name. We have one A in our congregation. We're not even statistically significant. So what does that tell us? It tells us a couple of things. We do have P is the yellow, E, evangelist, shepherd, and man, can we teach, right? Alan Hirsch's supposition is if you have shepherds and teachers, those are the ones that represent equilibrium, comfort, stability. Everybody else represents change. How comfortable do you think we are? I think we're maybe too comfortable, to be honest with you. And so my job is to agitate a little this morning, in a good way, to prod just a little bit. And how do we do this? Well, there's a couple ways that we can do this because we don't want to settle into this idea of this is good enough. I don't need to take off. I just like to taxi because I like the view. I like the sound of the engines. I like to run it up and feel that little wheelie and then I'm done. Boom, let's take the training wheels off, shall we? Let's do some amazing things. How about that? Let's fly. So here's how we do this. One, we partner with another organization. Now, I also brought in all of the results from both sides and combined it into one. What do you think is going to happen to this graph? It's going to get bigger. Well, the numbers are definitely going to get bigger. The percentages might surprise you. Now, focus here for just a second. This is us, contemporary service. No A's, very few P's, and you see the rest. So watch what happens when we combine. You might be amazed. That's what I thought. Wow. All right. So we are already on our way. Folks, I'm convinced that this has been something that God has been working on for 180 years when this church was put here. He has already started to put the things into place that we need to take off and soar. He's already started to work in us and through us and shape us. And so we have a better head start than we think. Now, here's the other challenge. When you run across people that are not like you, If you happen to be an S or a T and you value stability and equilibrium, and you run into an A, for example, that is all about disruption and renovation, your first reaction is like, I don't really like that person. And as I've said a million times before, you don't have to like them. You have to love them. That's in that book. So we have to fully appreciate that while people are different, they bring something to the mix that's going to help us do what we need to do. We should rejoice that we're different in that way because we share one common cause, and that is to make disciples. We share one Lord, one faith, one baptism, as Scripture says. So let's not poo-poo. Let's not push people out that aren't like us. Let's actually welcome them, have room for them to speak, to listen to what they have to say, especially if it's Spirit-led. So we are well on our way to having a full APEST capability. Now, here's the other thing that we can do. We're not hopeless because you remember there are five scores that you got. So when you got your test back, if you're, let's say, let's just pick on the teachers because that's the most of us. So if you're a teacher, but your secondary score was pretty high in that A, I need you to dig a little deeper. I need you I don't want you to stop being a teacher. I just need you to start being more of an apostle, to bring those ideas out. God wired you in a unique way. I will say there are a few people who scored like this. You're the multi-purpose player. You could do any one role, right? So look around. Pick the one that you think needs doing the most and do that. Or if you have two scores that are close together, pick the one that you think the church needs to get off the ground here. That's my encouragement to you in this, because it's not all bad news. So why am I telling you this at this time? Like I said, it's 180 years in the making. I'm convinced God has brought us for such a time as this, in such a place as this, in the most rapidly growing suburban area in the United States. That's no joke. I didn't make that up. This is where we are. This is what God has been prepping for 180 years. And today, we have a new organization. As we come together as Union Chapel, we finally got a visual symbol that we can unite under. I hope you feel the same about it as I do. We put a video together to help explain our new logo, and I hope it changes your life. Let's take a look.
Before there were buildings, before there were doors, before there was anything, there was faith. In 1844, a small group of believers gathered under the open sky, worshiping with nothing but their voices and their hearts set on Christ. Over time, walls were built, doors were opened, and generations passed. But one thing never changed. The mission: to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Now we stand at the dawn of a new chapter, a new name, a new symbol to carry us forward. This is more than a logo. This is our story. Look closely. You'll see the tree, our humble beginning, when worship happened under the open sky. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. A reminder that we are rooted in Christ, growing in faith, standing firm in His Word. The doors always open, always welcoming, because we are called to invite the world in, into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's called evangelism. But doors work both ways. This is also a reminder that as we depart, we go out as disciples who make disciples. We go out as apostles, the sent ones, to to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. At the heart of it all, the cross of Christ, the very thing that unites us. A subtle but powerful mark, a star, reminding us we are called not just to believe, but to serve the world in a way that points people to their Creator. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is more than a logo. This is our calling, a summons to the mission Christ has given us, a beacon of light in a world that desperately needs hope. The mission is clear. The time is now. This is your invitation into the life you were created for. You're not just invited. You are needed. The journey begins today, through you, through us, through Christ. Join us and watch what He will do.
We got an aircraft, folks. It's time to take off. Do you feel the excitement? Do you feel something happening here? Do you feel something coming together? Isn't it wonderful? Wouldn't you hate to just stay on the runway? Can I convince you that there is more out there and it is worth the effort? Let's take a look at a couple things that we're going to want to focus on. Why, if you're not convinced yet, why do you want to be a part of this? Some of the benefits in embracing this from an individual standpoint, if you're looking for clarity, if you're looking for purpose, if you're looking for meaning, there is no greater clarity or purpose than taking off of the runway. I tell you, after that whole feeling of hunkering down and releasing, there's nothing like taking up an airborne. You are solely focused. You are one with that aircraft, just like we are one with Christ. And where He takes you, who knows? All around the world, literally, could be, or right next door, doesn't matter. But when we have a purpose and a clarity, we also avoid the burnout that tends to come from just trying to slog through, because we're going to make this thing fly, even if it's not flying. We're going to drive through that field all together, right? Nobody wants to do that. Corporately, we're actually going to be effective in making disciples. How many people have come in and professed faith in Jesus Christ who didn't come from another church? Don't answer that question, because I think you know the answer. But it's time that we reached the unreached. It's time that we reached maybe someone who's had a bad experience, the de-churched. It's time to reach that neighbor that's too busy for Christ. It's time to reach, period. And if we do that, we prevent the stagnation and ineffectiveness that some churches fall prey to. Nobody wants to abort on the runway. Nobody wants to four-wheel when they could fly. So here's the cost of neglect. If we don't do this, individual decline will happen. I'm not going to say you're going to lose your faith. I'm not going to say you're going to lose your giftings, but it's like anything else. You use it or it fades. It atrophies. If we want to present the weak, malnourished Church of Christ to the world around us, we can do that. But that's not the church that I want to be a part of. Yeah. And that's not the Savior that I serve. There's so much more. The other thing that happens, vision begins to diminish when we don't see effectiveness, when we don't feel personal results, when we're not transformed by the renewing of our minds. Vision declines. And when there is no vision, what happens? The people perish. Yeah, I don't want to be a part of that either. I don't want that for you all either. I don't want that for Union Chapel. And then finally, just missed opportunities. And here's why that's so important in this place, in this time. The opportunity that we have here is unlike any other in the world. This is the fastest growing suburban area in the United States. What are the odds that God put you here for such a time as this, in such a place as this? Because I'm convinced, again, 180 years in the making, we're here for a reason. And just from the former WordServe crowd, you've known our story. You've seen everything that we've gone through. There are about 9 reasons I could quote off the top of my head why we should not exist anymore. And yet, here we are. See, I don't think God has brought us this far to leave us, to abandon us, to abort on the runway. There's more. So what do you do? Here's what you do. Number one, discover your gift. If you haven't taken the test yet, you can still do it. Just let us know. We'll get you via email. Once that test is there, let us know what your scores are. Actually, I think we will know if we set it up correctly. That's how I got the other numbers. Then finally, plug in. So now you know your gift, do something with it. Don't go, wow, I got a really cool screwdriver. I'm just going to put that in my toolbox so I keep it nice and clean and shiny. No, that's not the purpose of a screwdriver. Go out and use it and contribute it more so to the kingdom of God. Don't use it for your own glory. Use it for the glory of the Father. Let your light shine so that people know who's responsible for that. And then finally, seek support. You may have a lot of experience doing what you do. Maybe you could be a mentor to someone. You may have zero experience at what God is calling you to do, but you are equipped to do that. Find a mentor. And if you can't, we'll help you find one. The point is, don't just take what God has given you and bury it. Take what God has given you and grow it and give it back to His kingdom and watch us soar. There's a parable of the talent that you might be familiar with. Two of the three did pretty well. You know, the only one that got called lazy and wicked servant was the one who took the gift that was given and buried it and did nothing with it. So I don't want that for us either. There's so much more, so much more. So my encouragement is that we are going to be cleared for takeoff. Now here's my timeline that I'm going to give you. I want to give you Easter, April 20th, because by then you will have prayed for all the people that you're going to invite to Easter service. That's the one time that they'll probably come out. You're going to do everything that you can, including, hey, what time can I pick you up? Let's go out to breakfast before or lunch after. I want you to experience this. This is also the time where you're going to discover what your gift is, how to contribute it, how to find a mentor, everything else. I'm giving you this timeline because at some point, the man upstairs, the great air traffic controller, is going to say, Union Chapel, you are cleared for takeoff. And what are we going to say? Give me a minute. I got to abort. I got to go back. Or are we going to say, Roger that, cleared for takeoff, runway 13? That sounds really cool, does it not? Exciting. Let's do that. So hoping in the Lord is the number one step. We're not built for mediocrity. We're never built for mediocrity. And if you're unsatisfied with life, it's because you're trying to live something you were never created for. That's the way God built us, to soar, to fly. Hope in the Lord is the first step in this path. And when I say hope in the Lord, because you have to have a vision of what could be in order to take that leap. And a vision of what Bill thinks is a good idea is not something to hope in. I'm human. I'm flawed. But he's not. When we say hope in the Lord, that's something that is sure. This is not iffy. This is not maybe. This is hope in the Lord is a certain thing. That's the vision that's going to convince us to take that leap, to jump in, to go to full power, light those burners. Then embracing our calling. How many people, don't show me your hands, how many people have felt God tugging at you to do something, to become something, to enrich your faith in some way? But you haven't embraced that yet. There's always a reason. Well, this season is just too busy. I don't have time. Maybe when I'm retired, I could do that. Oh, wait, I'm retired. I don't want to work anymore. Have I hit all the excuses? Have I annoyed everyone by now? Yeah, I'm too busy with other things. You know what my answer to that is? Do one less other thing so you can do this thing. This thing is eternal. This thing is important. This thing will transform lives. And if you have no margin in your life, I would encourage you to cut something else before I would cut this. But that's just me. Oh, and this guy named Jesus. Finally, we are here to make disciples. That is what we do. One job God gave us to do. Jesus said, this is your mission. Not your missions, not the million things that are going to distract you. This is your mission. Make disciples of Jesus Christ. Folks, we're going to taxi out. We're going to get on a runway. We're going to run up the engines. We're going to feel the hunker down. Then what? Here's my encouragement as we leave. This is right out of Isaiah. Isaiah was a man who had a lot of troubles, a lot of struggles in life, but never gave up hope in God. You are going to be familiar with this verse. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will not walk and not be faint. That's my hope, my prayer, and our clearance for takeoff for Union Chapel. Will you pray with me, please? God, thank you for the great calling that you've given us. Thank you for the equipping that you have made for us. We pray that as we go through this process, you would continue to bring the people that we need to make this aircraft not just take off, but to soar, to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to see transformed lives. And God, let that begin with us right here, right now. Pour out your Spirit on us and help us to see you in a new way, a way that renews our minds, transforms us. We pray this in